in Freedom. It's kind of a the right title for this Sunday because we're looking at Independence Day, which is a couple days away, and which we our country celebrates freedom many years ago, that a couple hundred years ago, that we broke free from British rule and became an independent country. So living in freedom, I hope it's a message that resounds within your heart. It's just a perfect topic for today. I want to invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to start from verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 from verse 19. I'm not going to read too many verses at the beginning here because a lot of it is illustration. But 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. Paul says, "Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible." I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. What did Paul mean when he said, "Though I am free and belong to no one"? Free can mean a lot of things. Free can mean, well, I'm not doing anything, so I'm free. Free can mean I'm not in prison because I'm free. Free can mean a reference to a kind of government that one lives under, that we're free in this country or that country. Free can mean, hey, free stuff, man, free merchandise. You know, we can, you know, and we can get those free. You know, you ever see those two-for-one ads? I always want the second one. They never give it to me, you know, free, no charge, okay. Free from lies, okay, we're free because we're free from lies, free from debilitating personal life structures or personal life dynamics, free from addictions, free from, just there's a lot of ways that free can be used. Free from deception. Russ Chandler, who was a former religion writer at the LA Times, said there was a man named Ron who would constantly come down to the office and inquire, says, "You know, Russ Chandler has got to interview me and put it into the religion section of the LA Times." He would do that several times, and they always politely say, "Well, no, thank you. We have the columns filled." And then one time Ron called the LA Times and says, "You know, I've got this manuscript that's got to be published in your paper. And so, I'll bring it down, but it's got to be published." And so Russ Chandler sent one of the copy girls down there, and he says, "You know, be nice to the guy, you know, but don't promise anything. And, you know, if you can, at least a little discourage him from sending any more stuff, you know, that has to be that has to be published." And so she went down, and Ron was there and met them, she got the manuscript from him. And then he said to her, "So, you know, this might be a surprise to you, but I'm the Messiah." And she looked at him with a lot of compassion. He says, "Well, you might be surprised to know that you're the third one today." Free from deception, you know, so we don't delude ourselves. In this section, in this particular portion of Scripture, free is connected with chapter 8, where we talked about how Paul, you know, deserves to be compensated for his work in the church in Corinth, but he gave up that right because he wanted to be free from the obligations that taking a salary from them might put upon him. And they might, the Corinthians might use it to say, "Well, we want you to do this, we want you to do that," but Paul wanted to be free from that, so he wouldn't take a salary. He didn't want to be considered under obligation to them. And he didn't want to be especially led by a church that was very dysfunctional and not really following the Lord that well. So free for Paul meant he was financially independent of the Corinthians. And being financially independent of the Corinthians, he was free of their expectations and obligations and possibly their manipulations. He was free to serve Jesus. And so he can go anywhere Jesus wanted. He can say anything Jesus wanted him to say. And he can do anything that Jesus wanted him to do, no matter whom it was and no matter where it was. He was free to do that. And he wanted to be free to respond to God's calling, wherever it took him, and to whomever it took him. This is an important message because a lot of us aren't free. A lot of people in our culture aren't free. We're not free. Maybe we're not necessarily shackled in prison, or maybe we're not necessarily finding free stuff, but we're not free. We're not free because we live in dysfunctional relationships. Dysfunctional relationships just mean there's something unhealthy going in the relationship, and we're both contributing to it to keep it unhealthy. Or we might be not free in the sense of being an enabler, where one person is very dysfunctional in the relationship, but we think we're helping them, but we're actually making it worse. Even when we think we're helping them, we're making it worse. Many people aren't free because they're still bound to the past regrets or past sins or past mistakes, and it keeps haunting them, keeps coming back. Many times we're not free because of that. Many times we're free because we're bound by anger or fear or addictions, and they keep hounding us, and it's so hard to break free from them. And so we're still bound by them. So freedom is a rich topic. Oh, some of us just long to be free. We probably all long to be free from something so that it won't haunt us and affect our lives so much now. If that's you, then there's good news for you, because our Lord Jesus Christ came to set us free. Amen? And as he says, I came to set the captives free. Hallelujah. And I think we can all say, and I hope we can say with deep humility, we were all captives at once, captive by something. Jesus Christ can make us free. And so Paul says in verse 19, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Paul was a free person. And just in his conversation and what he wrote, I wanted to share with you how to be free yourself. Okay? First of all, accept God's calling and mission for your life. That's the first step to freedom. Accept God's calling and mission for your life. Paul had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and it's told in Acts chapter 19, and it turned his life around completely. Completely. He was a persecutor of Christians. He would go and find them and bring them back and try to get them to denounce their faith. Jesus had a special calling and a special important mission for Paul, and that was to share Jesus with people. And so Jesus got a hold of Paul and says, why are you persecuting me, the truth of God? And he carries out this mission, and he tells Ananias, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. So God had a mission for Paul. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. Now, Paul had a decision to make when he learned that, when God had a mission for his life. He could have said, no thanks. I think I'm going good with the way I'm going. I don't think I necessarily want to go. Gentiles? Why would I want to go to Gentiles? People who aren't Jewish. I've immersed myself in the Jewish life completely, and all I have are Jewish friends, and I've been trained by Jewish, and the education is Jewish, and everything is Jewish. Why would I want to go to Gentiles? And how could I fit for them? I said, I don't want to necessarily go for that. But he said, yes, I'll do it. Yes, I'll do it. And it changed his life. Changed his life. From that time on, he was living for Jesus, a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and the irony is, when we're a servant to Christ, we actually experience true freedom. Isn't that ironic? When we're a servant to Christ, we actually experience true freedom. When we're a servant to the devil or a servant to ourselves, we experience bondage. But when we're a servant to Christ, we experience actual freedom. Paul had a belief for the followers of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, he said, Jesus died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. That was his conviction. And he could say that because that's what he did. He says, I gave up my life for what I had. He goes, I'm going to follow Jesus 100% and follow him and live for him. And Paul lived for Jesus. And he did it with a deep gratitude. He who persecuted Jesus at one time and his followers was forgiven and given opportunity to serve he whom he had persecuted. What a strange thing. The one that I persecuted has given me an important place in his plans. You know, in those days, if you spoke against the king, resisted the king, you were usually put to death if the king found out. You were usually just put to death. Yeah, that guy's against you. Gone. Okay? But for Jesus, the forgiveness was so rich and so very deep that he gave Paul the privilege of having an important part in the ministry, in the mission that God had, what Jesus was trying to accomplish there on this earth. What a privilege it was. He did it with great, deep gratitude. Beloved, extraordinary faith means to live on mission for Jesus. Who are you living for? What are you living for? Are you living for comfort? Are you living for security? Are you living for pleasure? Are you living for yourself? Are you living for pride? What are you living for? That's the question this asks. What are we living for? And beloved, Paul says, live for Jesus. Live for Jesus. There's nothing better than to live for Jesus. When we live for Jesus, we're freed. Secondly, Paul's desire to live free also means let nothing get in your way of living for Jesus. Paul would have been better off in the world's eyes if he took the salary from the Corinthians. The salary say, hey, the Corinthians say, hey, why don't you come and live with us? We'll give you a salary and you know, it'll be a good work. There'll be a lot of good taking place. It would have been great. Financial security, comfort, nice home. You can get your Starbucks lattes every day. You know, just sidle down to the corner there. You can have that new BMW chariot. You can have that Gucci toga. Man, you'd be living like a king. I'm sorry, I put Nordstrom toga and a Gucci saddle on your donkey. You would have enjoyed that ministry. Yeah, it would have been good. And Paul would say, yeah, it would have been good. And no one would have criticized him for choosing to minister there. It's a good work. Except he and Jesus would have known. And Paul would have been miserable. Because he wasn't following what Jesus wanted him to do. See, sometimes the good gets in the way of doing God's best. Isn't that true? We settle for the good when you know God. We know that God wants the best for us. But we'll take the good. Because good comes with security, or good comes with comfort, or good comes with name brands. But Paul would not let personal comfort, Paul would not even let personal security, even ministry, distract him from living for Jesus. In the latter part of this verse 19, he goes into verse 24. So don't you know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the race. One gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 27. And Paul says, I beat my body so that I can run the race to win. To follow Jesus 100%. He was all in. All in. To serve the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to enter a race, enter to win. If you're going to make an effort, enter to win. Jesus is worth going all out for. Jesus is worth it. We don't enter a race to hope, oh, I hope I get fourth. Oh, I hope I get fifth. No, we enter a race because we want to win. We follow Jesus Christ because He's the only way to win. We don't accept the good so that we can accomplish God's best for us. If you're going to accept Jesus' salvation, live for him. Let nothing get in the way of living for Jesus, even the good. You know what also gets in the way of living for Jesus? Suffering. When ministry or life gets hard, oh, you know, we're starting to get filled with doubts. And I don't blame you for having doubts. We think, wow, this is so hard. How come it's so hard? Why should I follow Jesus when life is so hard? Let nothing get in the way of living for Jesus, even if it's suffering. When ministry or lifestyle of a Christian gets hard or disappointing or frustrating or worrisome, oh, it's so easy to waver in our faith. And when holding Christian faith is difficult, we start to have doubts. That's okay to have him for a while, but don't give in to him. Hold on. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. We're all wasting away. Every time I look in the mirror, I realize I'm wasting away. My hairline is going further and further back. Further and further. I can see more and more of my scalp every day. I keep thinking, you know, there was a time when I couldn't see my scalp underneath my hairline. But now I look in the mirror, psh, it's more prominent than the hair that's supposed to be up there. We're all wasting away. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Amen? Yes. Day by day. For our light and momentary trouble. You know, and for Paul to say, after his life, where he was beaten to death, where he was starved, where so much bad happened to Paul. And then he says, oh, it's a light and momentary troubles. Wow. Are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. See, he had a great perspective on suffering. Suffering was not going to deter him from living for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a great spirit. What a great attitude. What a great strength. He was a servant of Jesus Christ no matter what. There are certain Christian theologies out there, and even in the Christian church. You know, if God called you to it, then you won't suffer in it. Oh, man. If that was true, then none of us would be parents. Right? Isn't parenting hard work? Yeah, parenting is hard work. You get that little baby, ooh, he's such a nice baby. I mean, if we'll go through the pregnancy. But, you know, we go, oh, that's such a nice little baby. And then a little while later, and, you know, this is hard. This is hard. Can't sleep at night. Constantly changing diapers. Ugh. Don't have a life of my own. This is hard. And if hard kept us from having children, we wouldn't have any children. But we persevere, right? I mean, I hope we do. We persevere. We follow through. Because there's something greater going on here than just that it's hard for us. And that is, we're developing a life. Amen? We're developing a life. Living for Jesus. Don't let suffering get in the way of you living for Jesus. Don't let it derail you from the mission that Jesus has for you. James 1, 2, and 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You know, James is trying to tell us that hardship develops our character. Look for it. Hardship develops our character. You know the story of the butterfly? Comes out of the cocoon, right? Not a worm, but a caterpillar. Goes into the cocoon, right? Chrysalis. And it struggles to get out. And one time one person said, oh, that butterfly is having such a hard time getting out. So he decided to help the butterfly and it struggled to get out of the chrysalis. So it kind of opened up the thing and maybe pulled it out a little bit. And the butterfly fell to the ground and died. And he didn't realize that the struggle helped pump the blood into the wings and helped give the wings strength. And in the struggle to get out of the chrysalis actually prepared him to fly away. And so in helping him, helping the little butterfly. It actually doomed him. See, this hardship develops character. Well, I'll put it this way. It can develop character because it also can develop bitterness. And if you go to the site of bitterness, you lose your sense of mission for Christ. So let it develop your character. Let it develop your character. Paul gives some examples of this freedom from verse 20. He says, When I'm speaking to Jews, I'm a Jew. When I'm speaking to non-Jews, I'm a non-Jew. When I speak to people who are weak, then I'm weak too. Now, I know that last thought would have come into conflict with any church, any one church that he had been associated with. And so he said, you know, because the Jews would say, how come you're talking to Gentiles? The Gentiles said, how come you're acting like a Jew? You know, and it would have been very difficult, very, very awkward. And so he wanted to be free from that and to be able to minister wherever God wanted him to go. Even to be able to admit weaknesses in order to connect with a person who was weak. And so he says in verse 22 and 23, I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. What a heart. What a heart. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. Paul would not let his upbringing, his education, his culture prevent him from his mission. It would have been easy and natural for him to feel like he was different than others. He was not only Jewish, but he was highly educated. He was aristocratic. He was probably wealthy in order to be so highly educated. It was easy to see that he could have been snooty or kind of distant. Maybe say, well, I'm better than you or something like that. Because, you know, he was part of the privileged class there, and yet he would go to anywhere, talk to anyone, even admit that he was weak. So that he could connect with somebody who was also weak to share Christ with them. Wow. See, he was able to look past his culture so that he could be on mission for Jesus Christ. He wasn't going to even let his culture stop him from living for Jesus 100%. He's an extraordinary man with an extraordinary faith. And he gives us life lessons that we can take too. There's a side note here that when you're ministering to different people, find common ground. When you share with pre-believers, he was willing to be a Jew. If he was talking to somebody who was not a Jew, he was willing to not be a Jew. Talking to somebody who was weak, he was willing to be weak. And he found common ground so he can talk to them eventually about Jesus. You know, witnessing is not pounding someone with the gospel or arguing theology or trying to convince someone that they're a sinner. If somebody pounded me with the gospel or argued theology with me, not that I'm a great theologian, or tried to convince me that I'm a sinner, I don't know if I'd be very receptive to listening to that. Would you? No. Most effective witnessing is coming alongside of someone and connecting with them, establishing a relationship and telling them, hey, I've been there too. I know what it's like to feel anxiety. I know what it's like to feel worry. I know what it's like to feel insecure. Yeah. What happened? Let me tell you what happened. Jesus came into my life. Wow, what a great transition, huh? Amen. So what did Paul mean when he said that he was free? Paul meant that he was a sold out, dedicated follower of Jesus Christ. He accepted God's mission for his life. Nothing would deter him from following God's mission. What's your mission, folks? What's your mission? Let's pray, shall we? Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you that you give us a life. Thank you that you offer us freedom, that when we serve you, we can truly be free. When we give our lives over to you, we can experience the freedom of Christ. And so, Father, I pray for the freedom to come here upon each one, that we would no longer be bound or hounded or haunted by our past or that which is destructive, but that we would live free in Jesus Christ. Thank you. Amen. we receive the benediction. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. God bless. Our fellowship luncheon starts.